Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
It is Mother's Day, and I am grateful. We are in a series entitled Legacy. And a couple of weeks ago, we started this series, and Galen reminded us last week, an inheritance is what you leave for someone. A legacy is what you leave in someone. And we are determined, both as a church, to help you as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and family members to make the best impact and to leave the most in the next generation. And then as a church, we're very, very intentional about the legacy that we can leave together in a community that we couldn't do on our own, but because we come together, we can make a big, big difference. One of the verses that's a foundation for this is 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul said of his son in the faith, Timothy, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice." And we've talked about that before. And so it is legacy. I'm grateful today on Mother's Day. Not only do we celebrate moms today, but we are reminded of the power of womanhood today in all its beauty and influence. So whether you are a biological or adoptive parent today, or a woman who in one way or another, parents, all of us, a friend, an aunt, a cousin, a neighbor, a coworker, a spouse, thank you. And I have something to say to you today, specifically as women, which I believe I've been deployed to this moment in time to say to you, and I'm going to do that at the end of the message. In our second service today, we're going to honor one lady in particular who has made an enormous impact on her community, her family, and this local church. Dr. Ruth Peters Wegforth has been a part of First Nazarene for a long, long time, and there's a large bio that I am going to read in the second service that I won't take time to read to you here today. She has led her family. You can't think of Ruth without thinking of Bob. They are a team. Many, many years of marriage. And they have worked together in business. She taught at Northern Illinois University. She has a doctorate. She is an incredible woman. She has been our church archivist and Chicago First Church of the Nazarene, 118 years old. We understand that our history is critically important, and she has helped us maintain that for many, many years. And recently, she wrote this book, which is Our Story, First Nazarene Church, Chicago First Church of the Nazarene, a history of the church. And you're going to be given some links where you can find this online. There are hard copies available. They cost us a little over $30, and we'd like a $40 donation for that. If you want one, you can contact the church office. But this has just come out. She's just an incredible lady. She has served in this local church in virtually every capacity over decades. And so we honor her today. And just in case she's watching, can you say thank you to her with me in this moment? I can think of no better way to honor Ruth or honor the women who have impacted my life than to walk through this passage of Scripture. This is legacy. This doesn't feel like legacy when you're doing it. It feels like work and sacrifice and toil. But hear me today. This is a weaving of legacy. A wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships. She brings food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds a distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And this morning, ladies, your church honors you. Thank you for being who you are and for the difference that you're making in the lives around you. And it is appropriate in a legacy series to talk about the impact of the women in our life. Something I've played with over the years is a word cloud. Are you familiar with that concept? You can take text and you can dump it into this little app, and it will, by the number of times that a word is mentioned, it will give you a picture. So it will kind of show you what lifts out and becomes important. And when I took Proverbs 31, all of it, and I dumped it into one app, this was the picture I got about that text. And you'll see, you see the words that stand out. But immediately I thought, well, wait, whoa, that's not what I was looking for, because I had an idea of something that I thought was going to come up. There was a word that I thought was going to be front and center because it's the word that's used the most. Husband, for instance, I think is used 3 times. The word that I was looking for is used 19 times, but it's not here. And so I went to another site and did the same thing and got a little different picture, but essentially the same thing. And then I went to another one, and then I discovered, I did a little research, and the word I was looking for, because we see all of the things that she does and the people she commits to, but what was missing for me was the word she. I mean, I thought that she was going to be the center of the word cloud, and that would have been a great illustration for me to talk about your impact and the difference that you make. But, and it's not some kind of a conspiracy. The word clouds just don't use he either. They just don't use those. But I couldn't help but think about how so easily all of these roles are played by in one way or another. And women are often defined by what they do, and we forget the she in our life. My grandmother is responsible for my family following Jesus. She was that piece of the family tree that said, we're going to follow Jesus. So I grew up with parents who loved the Lord. My mother, you have heard me talk about multiple times, had a tremendous impact on my life. My daughter, I found recently, I was going through some cleaning up some stuff, and I found a note that Natalie had put in either my briefcase or my folder the night I came to interview here about 11 years ago, that just said, Dad, you got this. Let me tell you something, that means something. And of course, my wife, Lindy, has made, she actually had to go with me on the journey of life, and she has been amazing. We honor the she's. One of the phrases that speaks to me out of this psalm is that she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. You have more power than you know and that you understand. This is Charles and Yvonne de Gaulle. I didn't know a lot about de Gaulle. I know he became the president of France and was a prime minister, but I didn't know a lot about him. And I got onto a podcast recently, a historical thing, and I learned this incredible story about this couple. Charles de Gaulle led France during the Nazi occupation, and he had to be slick about how he did it. I mean, he was in and out of the country many, many times, and he would go on the radio, and he was just incredible. I had no idea of the influence, and he came back when the battles were still being fought, but never leaving his side was his wife, Yvonne. They had three children, one of which had Down syndrome. The family stayed together, and they snuck out more than one time in the middle of the night, and they would put the kids on boats and take them out. It's just an incredible matter of fact. There were 30 assassination attempts. I don't mean threats, attempts against their life. And one of them, the car they were in had been just mangled with machine gun fire, but they had survived. And as she got out and was walking in the house, security came up and said, you know, you're going to be okay. We can get you in here. She goes, yeah, we'll be fine. Be sure and get the groceries out of the trunk. The kids are going to be hungry. That's strength right there. And here's probably one of her most favorite quotes. Her favorite and loved quotes. She said, the presidency is temporary, but the family is permanent. What a powerful, powerful thought. There's an anchor in there. And we want to affirm that in this legacy series. A quote from the background notes, which are incredible. I just challenge you to pick them up. And gentlemen, read them. And ladies, you read them too. And because Pastor Bob has done a masterful job of unpacking all of this, he reminds us with a quote from Vody Bachman, God has designed your family, not the youth group, not the children's ministry, not the Christian or government school, but your family as the principal discipling agent in your children's lives. And then Pastor Bob added a quote at the end that I couldn't not bring you. Parenting is a calling and not a hobby. We are celebrating the she's of our lives and encouraging you and reminding you of your calling. Again, whether you're a biological parent or whether you're an aunt or a sister or a friend, you have extraordinary impact. And in this legacy series, I identified a couple of weeks ago, and if you haven't watched the series, I would encourage you to go back and particularly and watch Galen's message from last week. It was an incredible, articulate portrayal of the kind of things that it's going to take for us to make a difference in the next generation. One of my fears is, there's a quote from Psalm 116, and Pastor Bob unpacks this in his background notes, but there's a line from Psalm 116 where the psalmist gets to a point where he said, in my dismay, he talked about how down he was and how difficult it was. He said, in my dismay, all men are liars. And my fear is that with what's going on today in the lives of our kids, what can they trust? Who can they trust? That my fear is that as a culture, and particularly the next generation, we're going to get to a point where we're just not going to believe anything anymore. And that's what the enemy wants. And so he has called us to intentionally, individually, and as a body of believers, leave a legacy behind us. I talked a couple of weeks ago about a conversation or a presentation that I heard where one of the leaders, the church leaders in one of the largest church leaders in our country talked to us about the primary weapon that's being used against us to prevent us from giving the legacy, the work of generations, as Pastor Bob calls it in his background notes, is division. We have never lived in a more divisive time. That is true of community. It's true in politically, but it's true in families too. And it's not all political stuff. Sometimes the enemy just wants to divide. And I want to speak against that today, and I want to come against that today because it will make a difference. Pastor Galen last week talked about how the Bible calls for us to deal with divisive people. We are not to have peace at all costs and just not, no. We're to deal at the same point in time. We need, as followers of Jesus, to be unified around what's most important. In John chapter 17, which he read last week, there was a phrase that just stuck out to me, and I had not noticed it before. This is Jesus' high priestly prayer. He's getting ready to go to the cross. This is him praying for his disciples and for us. And he says, he prays for unity. He says, I in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. And it was that phrase, such perfect unity, that grabbed me. And I wonder if as families, we could get to a place where we can find such perfect unity with each other and with God that the rest of the world will look at us and say, how do you do that? Now, unity is not just everybody falling in line. That's not unity here. That's not the oneness that's translated here. Unity represents the fact that the things that hold us together are stronger than the things that would pull us apart. The bond that we have as family, as friends, as believers, is more important than the opinions that we have that are different. More important than those things that would divide us. Yes, there's difficulties, and yes, there may be disagreements, but we can have in Christ such perfect unity, a unity that doesn't mean we will always agree, but we will always be together. We will not leave the table. A unity. I had a very vivid example of this being lived out in family when Lindy and I were newly married, just been married a few months, and my parents had a habit on Saturday mornings of hosting people. People would just stop by and have coffee, and Mom would put out some kind of cake or breakfast cake or something, and it was a hangout and a fellowship, and Lindy and I had an argument. I don't remember what she did wrong at the time. I've forgiven her. But there was something going on, and I just went for a drive, and I went by Mom and Dad's, and it was just them there, and I stopped by, and I'm like, oh, it's good to see you, son. And I was the youngest child, so I was a mama's boy. And like, oh, it's good. And so we sit down, and she pours me a cup of coffee, and after a few minutes, she goes, what are you doing here? I go, what do you mean? It's my home. She said, well, no, it isn't. It was, but what's going on? I mean, you're not coming just to. I said, well, and I started in. Again, I honestly don't remember what the issue, but I started in. And about 30 seconds or 20 seconds into it, she went, stop. That's my daughter-in-law. And if you want to go get my daughter-in-law, and the two of you want to come here and talk, I'll be happy to talk with you. But that's my daughter-in-law. And I'm like, Mom. And it might have been one of the most important lessons she ever taught me. She was not going to even let her motherhood get in the way of the unity of the bond of marriage. What a powerful thought. So a question I have for you to reflect on today, what is it that seeks to divide your family and your friendships? Sometimes division is our legacy, whether we like it or not. And by the way, we don't get to decide. The jury is the next generation. They're the ones that will put a name on our legacy. And if we're constantly against, that'll be our legacy, whatever it is. We can be separate in our opinions, even our beliefs. Ooh. Well, but one in our love for each other. I wrote that and I went, ooh, that's what I did. I mean, physically, I'm sitting there going, ooh, in our beliefs? Yeah. Did you believe like Jesus before you were following Jesus? And don't tell me you always followed Jesus. You haven't. You may have gotten saved very, very young. But were your opinions, were your beliefs the same as Jesus before he saved you? Before he redeemed you? Before he atoned for your sin? No. Did he love you? Yeah. There has to be. We so underestimate. And we have so destroyed the definition of love that is an unconditional bond that speaks truth for sure and comes in grace. We must be one. When I think of what my mom said to me that morning, this quote comes to mind. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. The primary weapon used against us is division. So what is it that is threatening your family, your community, your friendship, your relationship? And we have to be cognizant of the threats to the body of believers because division is used against us. And then the second question that we're looking at in this legacy series is, what is the faith of the next generation worth to you? What is the faith of the next generation worth? As individuals, we talked about these rings in the tree, and that, of course, represent the age of a tree. And you're looking here at decade upon decade. This tree's been around a while. What do you see when you look at that and you think of legacy? When you look at your family tree, what do you see? You know what I see? I see Proverbs 31. I see late nights and early mornings and risks and journeys and sacrifices. And I have not ever heard a single parent, mom or dad, who at some point in time said, you know, I regret what I poured into my family. Never. It's hard in the season. It's difficult in the time. But when you look at your family tree, my prayer is that you will recognize what's been given to you. And as a church, what do we see when we look at our own history? Is you get a chance to read through that My Story, Chicago First History. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find late nights and early mornings and sacrifices and risks taken and service given over and over and over again. Why? Because the faith of the next generation is worth it. Every single drop of sweat, every single drop of blood that is shed for one reason or another, every single sacrifice is worth it for the faith of the next generation. Do you realize the millions of people who have died for their faith over the last 2,000 years? And all of that sacrifice was so that you and I would be able to worship the way that we worship. And I'm not just talking about our military, but let's include that. The people who died so that we would have the scriptures given to us. The incredible families that were destroyed from youngest to oldest because they kept the faith and passed it on. Do you realize what that says? It says that God looked at that sacrifice. He looked at all that pain that was going to happen. He looked at all that investment. He heard the prayers of parents for their children, and he saw what was done to them, and he came to the conclusion that you and I were worth it. Oh, that we would look into the circles of our lineage and recognize what's been done for us, that it would empower us going forward. Now, whenever we talk family, we do not talk perfection. It's tough. My goal at the end of the day with my kids was not to be any more dysfunctional than was necessary. I knew we made some mistakes and we're going to make more mistakes, and families are imperfect, and even this Mother's Day may be painful to you because there was a moment in your family tree when things didn't go right. This circle in this tree represents could represent several things. It could represent a drought, could represent a fire, could represent a flood. But there was a time, there was a moment when things were going wrong. There was a disaster in that tree's history. And yet, somehow that tree found its way through and a new day was born. Now, you may be the victim of what somebody else has done. You may be the problem. None of us are perfect. There are things that I did early on in my life that I am very sorry for. There have been moments when I have failed and I am hurting. And if that's where you are today, I want you to hear this last piece. If you're hurting, maybe because of what's been done to you, but if you're honest that some of the decisions you've made have not been good for your family, and you feel like Pastor Brian's talking about this family as if it's just, oh, no. There's moments in difficulty, but our God is bigger than that. Don't forget who made the tree to begin with. There's a great story told by a politician. Now we're going to deal with the division issue. Mario Cuomo Sr., former governor of New York, passed away in 2015. Not the Cuomo you're thinking of right now. No division, right? Who was a pretty incredible orator and a good leader. I didn't vote for him. Don't get mad at me. Well, I don't live in New York. Anyway, I don't know if I would have voted for him. Anyway, he tells a story. And he wrote it, actually turned into a children's book called The Blue Spruce. And it's a story. His parents were immigrants from Italy. And so, you know, I'm going to throw that in a little bit every once in a while. And he remembers a day when his papa said, hey, we're going to move from this little house behind this store, and we have a home and a yard. And his parents came to the country. They didn't speak English very well. They couldn't write or read English. And they went through all of the difficulties of immigration back in those days. But his dad had found a job, and they bought a house. And the best thing about the house and the yard, in addition to that it was theirs, was there was this blue spruce tree that was growing. And it was a beautiful tree. And he said, I've always wanted a blue spruce, and this is here. And it was a great tree, and he loved the way that he goes on and talks about what it meant to him as a little boy. And he would sit under it, and he would play around it, and he would talk to it out the window at night, and everything was amazing. And then the day came when he and his father were driving home, and it was windy, and it was cold, and it was raining. And a wind gust come through and didn't damage anything else, but blew that blue spruce tree over. And he said it was chaos. My father was going, oh no. And the wind was blowing, and he said, we got out and it was raining, and the roots of that tree were kind of flopping up in the air and the wind, and there was this hole, and it was just like somebody had picked it up and topped it over. And he says, I watched my father look at that tree, and then he said, Mario, he said, go get your coat on. Come on, we're going to do something. They're like, what are we going to do? He says, we're going to push the tree up. He said, Dad, we can't push the tree up. And he went out, and he goes in the branches, and we got under, and we were moving it a little bit. And then my dad got an idea. There was a little hill right behind the tree. He grabbed it in the rain and the chaos. He said, I didn't want to be there. This is dumb. There's no way to save this tree. It's over. It's finished. My dad got up on the little hill and tied a rope on the top, and a neighbor or two came, and while it was still storming, we pushed it back up, and it fell in the hole. My dad got some rocks and some stakes, and he put all of that around this tree, and he was so big, I never imagined we could do it. And he said, his father said, Mario, don't worry about the tree. The tree's going to keep growing. And it did, and it survived. And it's there today. You can go online and look at it. And that may be where you are. The wind has blown you down. And things have not gone the way you thought they were going to go. And you may be a young parent or aunt or member of a family, or you may be a senior citizen that looks back and goes, oh, let me tell you something. I want to remind you of something. This church wants to get in beside you and push you back up. We believe that God has a plan. We want to see you win. You can overcome. You can make it. And here's why. And this is my message for the ladies today. I've said it multiple times. If you don't remember anything else from me someday, I hope you remember this. You are where you are by divine appointment. God created you. He knit you. He put you in place. He has placed you where he wants you to be. He could have chosen anyone to be the mother of those children. He could have chosen anyone to be the sister, to be the aunt, to be the wife, to be the friend. He could have chosen anyone, and he chose you. He selected you. And you are where you are by divine appointment. And God wants to use you. He's going to help you. He's going to renew you. Don't doubt for a minute. You are plan A. You're not just somebody random who wound up. No. There's a plan and a purpose to the God we serve. You are where you are by divine appointment. And hear this. Consequently, you're doing better than you think you are. You may need to make some changes. There may be some things you need to work on. There may be, but I promise you, the divine commissioning and calling that he's given you is real and it's irrevocable. And he wants to help you. And this church wants to help you. That's legacy. Push her back up, Mario. She'll be all right. She'll continue to grow. So it is with you. So this Mother's Day, thank you. This Mother's Day, if it's a difficult time, whatever the reasons are, and that ring is dark, I'm asking God to help push you back up. This church will help. And I want you to think about the three things that you want to leave in the next generation of your family, your friendships. I want you to think about what the dreams are that you have, that we have together as a community. We've talked about how we're asking you to invest in this local church with service and by showing up and with giving and to be part of what we're seeking to build. And we're talking about some incredible things, but it takes faithfulness and we need you on board financially. What are the dreams for our church? What could we do right here that would change the world, that would make us a sending place for young men and women and people who are adults who encounter us to go out and make a difference? What are the dreams that we have for our community? I'd like for Adam to come out. I'm going to pray for you. And there are moments as a pastor when you feel something that I think might be unique. And as parents, you may know, this may be similar to that, I suppose. But there are moments when I walk through the building, there are moments when I watch you, there are moments when I walk across the rec fields. I was at Olivet for graduation this last weekend. I'm watching people, and I see you every week. And I know that not every week do you walk in here, do you join us online, and everything's great. And I felt that in preparing for this moment. I felt like there might be somebody who said, you know, I don't know. I just felt like God sent me here to remind you, you are where you are by divine appointment. The one who called you is faithful. And do what you need to do. Get some help. Ask for help. And we'll help push you up. You can do this. And don't ever think otherwise. Lord Jesus, I'm grateful for the she's of our church and our lives. I pray that you bless them today, encourage them and strengthen them, and bind us together in unity that the enemy will not be able to isolate and destroy any of us, for we are held together. Bless and encourage and strengthen, bring healing and hope. And for those for whom this might be the first Mother's Day since Mom has gone to heaven, I pray that there would be gratitude. I pray that even in grief, there would be a move to gratitude for all that was given. Help us as we focus there. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.
And thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.